Please remain standing for our gospel lesson today, which comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him. "Do this, and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho and was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." The word of the Lord. You may be seated. As we get ready to go to the text this morning, I invite you to pray for me and pray with me. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your church, where we can gather and meet you in a special way. And I do ask, Lord, that in this time you would meet us and minister to our hearts in ways that only you can. None of Bennett's ideas or thoughts have any power or consolation. But Holy Spirit, you minister to our hearts. You enable the eyes of our hearts to behold you. So, Father, we ask you, send your Holy Spirit in this time and speak to us. And, Father, I ask that as I teach this word, you would allow me to teach it with accuracy, and that as I preach the word, you would allow me to preach it with authority by the power of your Holy Spirit. And he who has ears, let him hear. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I am in year 2 of teaching here at Cross Schools. I teach Bible, but I was thinking about it. I'm in year 22 as a student. I'm taking some extra seminary classes right now as I pursue the ordination in the priesthood. And I've been reflecting on my journey in education. There's a common theme that I've experienced as a student and also now as a teacher, and it's whenever you have a really big paper due, the question is this: what's the length requirement? Like, what's the minimal bar that we have to meet in order to get the grade we need in order to pass? I have experienced this personally this past summer. I was in a summer class on the history of the Anglican Church around the globe, around the world. And I had to write a 15 to 20 page research paper. And I got to write a 15 to 20 page research paper. Now, when I was doing all this research, and then, you know, I read all these books, all these articles, and then I sat to type. And as I was typing, you know what I was thinking? Let me get to page 15. Like, I just got to get to page 15. That was where my eyes were fixed on. And I think we have a tendency to do this. When there's a standard that's set before us, The question is, perhaps, what's that lowest bar of entry? What's the minimal page requirement? In our story today, we have a lawyer who knows the Old Testament law very well. And he comes to have this conversation with Jesus, and he asks these questions. What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus, being Jesus, doesn't answer it directly. He flips it back on him and says, well, you know the law. What does it say? How do you read it? And the man replies with what we say every week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes, great. Do this and you will live. And here comes the interesting question. Okay, Jesus, I got to love the Lord with all my heart, with all of myself. Love my neighbor with all of myself. But who is my neighbor? That is one way of saying, well, Jesus, if you could just let me know, if I have to love my neighbor to have eternal life, if you could let me know who qualifies as my neighbor. Because if that person doesn't qualify as my neighbor, I don't have to love them, then that would be ideal, right? Sometimes there's those hard people to love. And if they don't count as a neighbor, then we don't have to love them, right? Where's the lowest bar of entry, Jesus? And Jesus completely flips this on its head. And he tells a story, a parable known as the Good Samaritan. But interestingly, throughout the parable, the word good is never mentioned. The Samaritan is merciful. The Samaritan has compassion. The Samaritan sees the need and acts. So Jesus, in this story, he actually does not answer who is the neighbor. Rather, Jesus teaches how we are to love as neighbors. You see the difference there? The man, the lawyer, saying, who counts as my neighbor? And Jesus says, it's not about who counts as the neighbor. The question is, how can we become loving neighbors? And Jesus tells this beautiful story. And I want to unpack it a little bit for us. Who are our characters? What happens here? Well, we have this Jewish man who is heading out of Jerusalem into Jericho. And as the man is traveling, he gets attacked by these bandits, by these robbers along the road. They strip him of his clothes. They beat him. They leave him half dead in a ditch on the side of the road. I had a preacher I heard one time preach this text, and he says, you know, the text says the man was beaten and let me see how the text puts it. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. And the preacher said, well, it's a good thing this didn't happen twice, you know. I thought that was a little good joke there. But we can imagine, this man is beat up, left half dead, left helpless, and he's in this ditch on the side of the road. And then a priest walks by, this person who knew the scriptures well, this person who had all the outward appearance of godliness and love for God. Yet when he saw the opportunity to show mercy and love, he passed it by. Then we have this temple assistant, also known as a Levite. He's journeying, he sees the man. And this Levite, this temple assistant, he would have been one who never missed a Sunday in church. He would have been one who volunteered on all the different teams, gave up his time to serve. But yet, when the opportunity was before him, he passed it by. And then we have a Samaritan who journeys on this road. And it's hard for us to picture this from just the text, but if we go back to the context of Jesus' day, the history behind the Samaritans, the Samaritans were a people group that were hated by the Jews. And remember, the man who's been beaten is a Jewish man. And so his enemy comes along, the person he despises. And it's the Samaritan, the least likely character, who sees him, who draws near, and shows mercy and helps him up. And this is the whole point of the story, friends. that the unimaginable thing for the Jew was that the Samaritan would come and show mercy and love. So let me ask you a question this morning. Where do you see yourself in the text? I want to encourage you, whenever you read scripture, whether personally or corporately in a Bible study, a small group, ask your question, where am I in this text? If Bennett is answering, I would say, where do I see myself? Well, it depends the day. Some days, I feel like the priest or the temple assistant, where I might have the outward appearance, I might do the things, but when I see the opportunity to love, to be graceful, to show mercy, I pass it by. On my worst days, I'm like the robbers, where I hurt other people, even sometimes unintentionally, but I cause damage to the people around me and especially those that I love most. On my best days, I try to be like the Good Samaritan and follow in that path. But can I tell you where I'm at every day? I'm the man in the ditch, in need of mercy, in need of help, in need of the love of God to rescue me. Friends, where are you in the text? Let me tell you, we are not the Good Samaritan in the text. We are all the man in the ditch. We are all the people who find ourselves in a helpless state by the sins that have been done to us or the sin within us. Either way, it leaves us half dead. It leaves us in need of rescue. But the good news I have for us today, brothers and sisters, is that we know who the Good Samaritan is. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He is, or can we put it this way, he is the merciful Samaritan. And he's here today, and whatever ditch you find yourself in this day, perhaps, wherever you need mercy and grace today, the Good Samaritan, the merciful Samaritan, is here to meet you. So with the remaining time, I just want to take a few moments to think about, what does it mean that Jesus is the merciful Samaritan in this story? How does it illustrate Jesus as the merciful Samaritan? And what does that mean for us in our walk, in our journey? Well, the first idea I have for you is this. The merciful Samaritan sees the man and has compassion. Directly from verse 33 in our text. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. You know, when you look at the text, you have all these characters that are on the road, and they see the man. The text is clear with this, that the priest sees the man, but then passes him by. The temple assistant sees the man and passes him by. But when the Samaritan sees the man, he is filled with compassion. Friends, have you ever stopped to wonder how Jesus feels when he sees you in your worst state? Have you ever stopped to wonder how Jesus feels when he looks on us and we are in the ditch? Jesus, every time, is filled with compassion. I'm reminded of this text from Matthew 9. I want to throw the text up here from elsewhere in the Gospels. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus sees us in our helpless state, friends, he's not angry. He's not done with us. He's not ready to write us off. He's not ready to give up. He is filled with compassion. I'm reminded of this as well when we come to the table. We have a long liturgy for the Eucharistic liturgy as we approach the table. And normally in our services, depending the season, we pick and we do parts of the liturgy. So during normal time, we don't say the prayer of humble access, but during certain seasons of the church, like Advent and Lent, we say a prayer. It's called the prayer of humble access. And it's as we prepare our hearts to come to the table, we pray these words, praying to the Lord, "We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs from under your table, but you are the same Lord whose character is always to have mercy." Friends, I hope today, wherever you find yourself, whatever need you find yourself in, take encouragement in this fact that when Jesus sees you, he is filled with mercy. He is filled with compassion. When the world passes you by, when the world sees you, they can be like the priest or the Levite. They can see you and they don't care. But Jesus is always filled with compassion. And that leads us to our second point here. The merciful Samaritan offers all he has to save and to heal. The merciful Samaritan offers all that he has to save and to heal. Verses 34 and 35 of the text say this: "Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, 'Take care of this man, and if the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay it the next time I return.'" If we're just to look at some of these actions, notice it's the compassion of the Samaritan that leads him to take action, to spend all that he has to save this man and to heal this man. It says in the text that the Samaritan goes over to him. Remember, this man in the ditch, he's helpless. He cannot move. He can do nothing. But the first move is made by the merciful Samaritan who draws near. Friends, no matter where you're at today in your soul, no matter what damage has been done to you, what sin you have in you, notice Jesus is always the one who makes the first move. In our healing journey, in our salvation, it's Jesus who draws near to us first. And then the Samaritan takes this man, soothes his wounds, bandages him up. I like to picture this. Can you picture that? This man in the ditch, and the Samaritan going, takes him, starts to soothe his wounds, starts to bandage him. This is the intimacy, the closeness of the Samaritan, that he had to get within the length where he could touch, address the wound. Friends, Jesus, when he looks at our wounds, he draws near and he soothes it directly. He bandages it up. He's not afraid of it. He doesn't go away. He says, "I can heal this," and only he can heal it. And then the Samaritan puts the man on the donkey and takes him to the inn, where the Samaritan starts to take care of him. This text, friends, this story has been preached on countless times. And in the 200s, within 150 years after Jesus' death, there was a man named Origen. He's an early church father, and he taught on this text. And I love his interpretation of the text. He also says that Jesus is the Samaritan, but he says the inn is the church. And that when Jesus saves a man, when Jesus begins the healing journey for the damages of sin, Jesus takes the soul to the church, and it's in the church where we receive healing. It's in the church where Jesus meets us in a special way. And I believe he's here to do that today with whatever wounds we carry. And notice in verse 35, he says, "If whatever the bill is, here's a down payment. Whatever the bill is, I'll finish off the payment when I come back." Notice that there's a promise. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he goes to the inn to check on this person that he rescued. Jesus is coming back for his church, and whatever healing process we were in, he will complete it on that day. This is the mercy and the goodness of Jesus. Whatever need we have, there is no amount of money that he won't pay. There is no distance he won't go. There is no ugliness of the sin within us to which Jesus will not say, I will bring that to completion. I will heal that. I will save that soul. And this leads us to the third and final point. The merciful Samaritan invites us to join him in this way of living. Verses 36 and 37, the parable wraps up, and Jesus goes back to talking with the lawyer. And Jesus says, now which of these three, the priest, the assistant, or the Samaritan, would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? The lawyer replies, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, yes, now go and do the same. I love how Jesus closes the conversation with the lawyer. Yes. Do you have eyes to see it? Do you understand what I want to do here in your heart? Now go and do the same. It's not about looking around and determining who qualifies as a neighbor, who's worthy of the mercy and grace that I have to offer. No, Jesus is wanting us to become the people who look to him, who is the merciful Samaritan, whose character is always to have mercy. And once our eyes are fixed on Jesus, once we've received that care, that we would then become those type of people who offer it to all the world, to every neighbor, to every person within our sphere of influence. You know, I often like to wonder, what would have happened in the parable when the man that was beaten up, when he was made well, I wonder what the rest of his life would look like. I wonder what would be different in his life going forward. I'd imagine when he saw other people in the ditch, he would remember that he was once there. When he saw other people left for dead by the world, I would imagine his heart would be filled with compassion. And as one who has been loved by the great, merciful neighbor, I would imagine he would live the rest of his days showing mercy to all. Friends, we are not the Good Samaritan. But as we have been rescued by him, may we be a people who give our lives to go and do the same, to show love and mercy to all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Will you stand with us as we recite our creed together?